Well, I guess it'd be about time to get this warmed up and going. Now, how be this get to working again?
Press the button.
Which button?
Not that one.
Not this one. That one.
No. Your other left.
This other one? Which one are you talking about?
I meant the right. No, that big red one.
The other red button.
Not the big, happy, shiny one.
You mean the one I just pushed?
Yeah, for crying out loud. You don't know what you're doing.
I know perfectly well what I'm doing.
Snap that button off. For crying out loud. You just sit here on your patootie. You play with your buttons. I go make coffee.
You do that, but don't slam the door. Welcome. I'm not even sure what to be saying at this point. Babushka's been experimenting with, as she says, she's done the savory, she's done the tasty, which none of us agree with, but she thinks now she's got to work into the flavorful, so she's been playing with different smells and accoutrements. Her latest endeavors been wax smells. Some of them smell like your frying fruits. Some of them smell like you're frying the flies that fly around the fruits. It's strange, appetizing, and disgusting, all in one fell swoop. But hidden that a great description of Babushka and most of her endeavors. Now, Halloweeny season begins to kick off next week, so we aren't there yet. So I'm going to go with something that falls a little in between now. And then, it's the thing that wrap everything around. It's Willwood and the tapeworms with Skeleton Appreciation Day. Done right here in Vestal, New York. Some of you might be knowing where that be. Some of you might just be confused, but the confuzzlement is something you'll forever be stuck with. So just enjoy and kick back and have a whole lot of fun. Welcome back, me mateys. Welcome back. Don't be forgetting, you can be a calling in our requests to 323-HEAVE-HO. That's 323-432-8346. You can also be joining us there. We have the page. But it's truly the group there on the Book of Face that is where you be finding us. And you've already figured out how to be hearing us. So I may not be telling you anything about that. But you go to the Captain's Quarters Show Podcast. Captain's Quarters Show Pottercast. And that will get you to the Facebook group. As far as I can be understanding and concerning. And that's also take you to the page too. But we interact a great deal on a group. But without further ado, let us get right into appreciating your poems.
Bones, 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 yeah, we're all alone. If I come home, baby, we'll All nightmares start as dreams. All love starts as a scheme. Give me all your LSD so I can feel my mind unweave again. They say the beauty's just skin deep. So Anastasia rents the rats in me from the bones, bones, bones. Let me see your bones. Well, I don't wanna know if the feeling follows home. Bones, bones, bones. Hell, we're all alone. If I come home, baby, will you show your bones, bones, bones? I can see my bones. Well, I don't wanna know if the feeling follows home. Bones, bones, bones. Hell, we're all alone. If I come home, baby, will you show me your bones? My bones, your bones. Tell me you can't see my bones. My bones, your bones. Tell me you can't see them. Da 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 da.
Last summer I thought for a little diversion I'd take my family on a camping excursion. We were tired of vacations with air-conditioned rooms and such. Swimming pools and room service. I thought 2 weeks way back in the woods would do us all a whole world of good, especially the kids. They don't appreciate nature much. Rather watch TV, eat a Twinkie. Well, my wife wasn't sure, but I said, look here, honey, we'll have a lot of fun and save a lot of money. Now, right there's where I made my first mistake, friend.
I figured a tent, a few cans of beans, marshmallows, what could it cost?
What with the sleeping bags and the hiking shoes and all the other paraphernalia that you use, it came to $6,947.22.
But like the man said, you can use it all again.
Well, we packed a new Land Rover with a maximum load and drove to a run plumb out of road and then backpacked 6 hours straight up a steep incline.
Briars, brambles, cockleburs.
And then we saw it, the perfect sight. There were trees on the left and a creek on the right of a clearing to pitch the tent. Just what we had in mind.
Eat your heart out, feeling strange.
Now, pitching the tent took 4 hours or so, and by then the sun was sinking low, and the kids were whining and crying for something to eat.
Whereupon my wife said, where's the restroom? I told her, she grinned, said, yeah, now where is it written?
So we broke out the soda crackers and sardines, the Vienna sausages and pork and beans, and sat around the fire to enjoy a well-earned treat.
Good, now that's city-fied junk food for us.
Kind of reminds me of Wild Hickory Nuts.
Let's all go camping. You'll never have it so good. It's great getting back to nature. Out here in the woods, amongst the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, where the animals are our friends. Once you get hooked on camping, you never like the city again. Well, we just weren't ready for what happened then, when sparks from the campfire carried by the wind set a pile of leaves and 289.95 sleeping bags aflame.
Little Delbert's going for the marshmallows, thought it's part of the deal.
Yeah, it spread from the bags and the leaves to the trees, raging out of control and fanned by the breeze. I thought all was lost, and then thank God it started to rain.
I don't mean shower, friends. We're talking Param up Noah one whole time.
Well, the fire was out. We huddled in the tent, wore slap out from the day's events, floating on our air mattresses in mud, ankle deep.
Whereupon my wife said, I really need to know now, where is the restroom?
And when it finally stopped raining, it was cold and late, but those mysterious noises kept us awake, and we all knew we'd be mauled or axe murdered in our sleep.
At this point, I knew the ghost stories earlier had been a bad idea.
I was dozing off, just about to dream about a holiday end, when a blood-curdling scream announced the presence of something in the tent covered with hair.
That's when I said, "Leap up there, son, light the coal, and I think he's something in here with us."
We lit the lantern, and there he was, a little beady-eyed fuzzy looking at us, and we chased him out of the tent and ran head-on into a bear.
He just finished off the groceries and was frothing at the mouth. We ain't talking no gentle Ben here, friend.
He reared back on his haunches and he let out a growl. We all turned white and let out a howl. Went tearing through the woods in hysterics without a flashlight or a lamp.
It's amazing what adrenaline do. I mean, I was a track star in high school, but my chubby little wife just flat-footed past me with a child under each arm, like I was taking a Sunday stroll, yelling, "Never mind the restroom."
Well, somehow we all made it to the car, and I had to crank it with a quick hot wire, cause I'd left the keys in my backpack back at the camp.
Along with the shoes, wallet, Rolex, and $6,947.22 worth of camping equipment.
We went flying down that dark and muddy trail, slipping and sliding like a bat out of hell, till we drove through a stream that we'd crossed on our way in.
Lord knows how we missed all the trees at 90 miles an hour. Sideways.
Now the rain made it deeper than it was before, and the water started pouring in around the doors. We had to swim for the shore. Never saw that Land Rover again.
Just floated off. Last I saw was the taillights going over the falls. State Farm ain't never gonna believe this.
Well, we finally stumbled into civilization. Called a friend of mine from a Texaco station. He drove out and picked us up, took us all on home.
Wet, cold, tired, talking to ourselves.
They say take only pictures and leave only footprints. Well, we left 8 sleeping bags, 2 trail master tents, a Coleman stove, $400 worth of groceries, a Land Rover, a Rolex, and every stitch of clothing my wife ever owned.
Oh, yeah, had to take it all with her. Mink coat, makeup, electric curling, I never know what you might need, she said.
Let's all go camping, you never have it so good. It's great getting back to nature. I'm here in the woods, amongst the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, where the animals are our friends. Once you get hooked on camp, you never like the city again. I tell you one thing, next summer we're going to Daytona Beach. For what this trip cost, we could have gone to Hawaii twice. First class! I'm talking hula girls and them little pink fizzy drinks with them little parasols sticking out of nature. Huh. Give me some concrete. I love traffic. Let me have some of that smog, too. I'd rather be mugged once a week and go back out there, friends. Just call me Urbane from now on.
Maybe he should have been gone on a sea cruise. We'll give him a place to stay. A nice Shanghaiing, you know, experience. It wouldn't cost him a ting. Not a single penny. Not one. Ray Stevens are with the camping trip. Now let us see. Oh! This one's a good one. It's getting some advice on careers. Some people out there, they say they feel like changing their careers. Well, here's a good way to think about it. Monty Python with career advice.
Ah, oh, Mr. Anchovy. Do sit down.
Thank you. Take the weight off the feet, eh?
Yes.
Lovely weather for the time of year, I must say.
Enough of this gay banter. And now, Mr. Anchovy, you asked us to advise you which job in life you were best suited for.
That is correct, yes.
Well, I now have the results here of the interviews and the aptitude test that you took last week, and from them we've built up a pretty clear picture of the sort of person that you are. And I think I can say without fear of contradiction that the ideal job for you is chartered accountancy.
But I am a chartered accountant.
Very good. Well, back to the office with you, then.
No. You don't understand. I've been a chartered accountant for the last 20 years. I want a new job. Something exciting that will let me live.
Well, chartered accountancy is rather exciting, isn't it?
Exciting? No, it's not. It's dull. 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 My God, it's dull. It's so desperately dull and tedious and stuffy and boring and... desperately dull.
Well, yes, Mr. Angevi, but you see, your report here says that you are an extremely dull person. You see, our experts describe you as an appallingly dull fellow, unimaginative, timid, lacking in initiative, spineless, easily dominated, no sense of humor, tedious company, and irrepressibly drab and awful. And whereas in most professions these would be considerable drawbacks, in chartered accountancy they're a positive boon.
Don't you see, I came here to find a new job, a new life, a new meaning to my existence. Can't you help me?
Well, do you have any idea of what you want to do?
Yes. Yes, I have.
What?
Lion taming!
Yes, yes. Of course, it's a bit of a jump, isn't it? I mean, chartered accountancy to lion taming in one go. You don't think it might be better if you worked your way towards lion taming, say, via banking?
No, or... no. I don't want to wait. At 9 o'clock tomorrow, I want to be in there taming.
Fine. But do you have any qualifications?
Yes, I've got a hat.
A hat?
Yes, a hat. A lion taming hat. A hat with lion tamer on it. I got it at Harrods. And it lights up saying lion tamer in great big neon letters so you can tame them after dark when they're less stroppy.
I see.
And you can claim reasonable wear and tear, switch it off during the daytime, claim reasonable wear and tear as allowable professional expenses under paragraph 335B.
Yes, I do follow, Mr. Angevi, but you see, the snag is, if I now call Mr. Chipperfield and say to him, look here, I've got a 45-year-old chartered accountant with me who wants to become a lion tamer, his first question is not going to be, does he have his own hat? He's going to ask what sort of experience you've had with lions.
Well, I've seen them at the zoo.
Good.
Yes, the brown furry things with short stumpy legs and great long noses. I don't know what the fuss is about. I could tame one of those. They look pretty tame to start with.
And these lions, how high are they?
Well, we're about so high, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't frighten me at all.
Really? And do these lions eat ants?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Angevi, I'm afraid what you've got hold of there is an anteater.
A what?
An anteater, not a lion. You see, a lion is a huge, savage beast, about 5 feet high, 10 feet long, weighing about 400 pounds, running 40 miles an hour, with masses of sharp, pointed teeth and nasty, long, razor-sharp claws that could rip your belly open before you could say Eric Robinson. And they look like this. Now, shall I call Mr. Chipperfield?
No. I think your idea of making the transition to lion taming via easy stages, say via insurance or...
Banking, yes.
Yes, banking, that's a man's life, isn't it? Banking! Travel, excitement, adventure, thrills, decisions affecting people's lives!
Jolly good. Well, shall I put you in touch with the bank?
Yes.
Fine.
No. Look, big decision. I'd like just a couple of weeks to think about it. I don't want to jump into it too quickly. Well, maybe 3 weeks. I'll let you know definitely then. I just don't want to make this definite decision. No, not
well, this is just one of the all too many cases on our books of chartered accountancy.
Sometimes I want to, and then I don't.
The only way that we can fight this terrible, debilitating social disease is by informing the general public of its consequences. By showing young people.
Perhaps I could do it just for a week, and then.
That it's just not worth it.
Not being certain.
So please give generously to this address, the League for Fighting Chartered Accountancy, 55 Lincoln House, Basel Street, London, SW3.
Making your way in the shuttle bay takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your duties sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to beam away? Sometimes you boldly go where everybody knows your name. And the android's glad you came. You want a subspace frequency where troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to go and make it so, a cup of tea, hot Earl Grey. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
That's a neat little ditty. A friend clued me in on Hathor One. And they've been listening to our Star Trek, your stuffs. And he said, I don't know that I've ever heard a captain play this one. It's quite fresh, quite new, and it's from Picard looking. Star Trek, but it's Cheers. I think the title could use a little work, but I really like what they did there. When we caught the commercial, remember, the vintage commercial starts it out, and then it goes right into the proper sponsorship, which pays for things like wax melts and other strange, flavorful, smelly things that Babushka insists is important. Makes me wonder what kind of smells they have for the Halloween season. Ode to Crypt, one might think.
Creepy crawlers, creepy crawlers, creepy crawlers.
Now, you can make all kinds of lovely things like these with Mattel's wonderful Thing Maker. It makes creepy crawlers, spiders, lizards, snakes, dragonflies. Make them yourself with this nice plastic goop. Choose a mold, pour in the goop, heat it, and presto changeo, you've got bugs. Squiggly, squirchy bugs. They feel so soft and natural. You get four different colors of goop and special paints. Make charming lizard pins or spider rings. You can collect them or spread them around. After all, they are fun for the entire family. Get Mattel's new Thing Maker with creepy crawlers. You can tell it's Mattel. It's swell.
Hi. My name is Alfred Sneasley, and when I go to Heroes Comic Shop on 14th Street in Elmira Heights, New York, I'm always greeted with a big smile from Jared.
Hey, Alfred. Hey, how are you today?
And his selection of comics and graphic novels, it's just amazing. I mean, it's what I always dreamed I could be. And he always treats me like the hero I am inside.
I don't just read about the heroes, I become the hero! At Heroes Comic Shop, I become the hero Mom always wanted me to be!
So Heroes Comic Shop is located at 130 West 14th Street in Elmira Heights, New York. We're open Wednesday through Saturday. You can check us out at momthroughout.com.
Now up and away!
Within comedy, there be grandmasters. Ones that have come and gone. Peoples like Joan Rivers, or Robin Williams, George Carlin, Red Skelton. And then there be some new peoples coming up through. Peoples, he's a long ways from the bottom, but he looks like he can go farther. Gabriel and Glacius, aye. And here's a new feller coming up to ranks, and doing quite well for himself. Josh Johnson, and as he's moving his way up and through, he wants to take us for a hike. So that's what he's going to do. And it's a little bit on the long side, but totally worth it once you get clear to the point of view. Taking a hike for Josh Johnson.
Is this really happening? Is this really happening? Was a thing that I found myself saying. I was with my friends, and we were hiking. Which was a mistake. Hiking, I don't hike often. Even the first time I went hiking was a bit of a trick, because they said it was a walk. Which is technically not a lie, but it's not the walk I was anticipating. You can walk places. I could walk here. Hiking is going up nature steps for no reason. I I'm not being a hater, by the way. If you like to hike, hike. Go take a hike. But if you want me to hike with you, I don't know why. Maybe I'm just good enough company that they're like, oh, we'll miss them. Let's hike together. As soon as I'm walking up, we have a problem. I like a walk. I like to go on a walk. That's how they got me. As soon as I'm walking and the steps are not, we've figured out steps. We have figured out the rise and the run that'll actually be decent on your hips. You want to get some exercise? Walk up that thing that Rocky ran up. This thing. I was like, eventually I'm like, where are we going? And they're like, to see the view. It's a beautiful day. We figure we go for a hike to see a beautiful view. And I'm like, oh, because you called it a walk. And then we hike. And we hike. I think about how the word hike got started. It's probably somebody going up for no reason. Seeing somebody coming down, because that's the other thing. Whenever you go hike, there'll be people who already hiked that you'll see on the way, and they'll give you hope. It's sick. It's sick. They will give you hope because now that you, it's easier to go down. You can fall down. It's easy to go down. So then the people that hiked up already, they were already tall. They were already there. And then now they turn around, and when they see you, you'll ask a question. Like I ask a question because I'm not enjoying hiking. So then I'm like, how much further? And I hate the way I ask. It's not exactly a manly way to ask. I'm not even putting on any like tough face. I'm like, how much further? And then they're like, you're almost there, and it's beautiful. Two lies in one sentence. Two. It feels like you're almost there to them because they turned around. They're going down now. It's easy. Going down is, ooh, smooth. They forgot when they were where we are. They've turned around. They don't even care how long it takes to get down because you're always almost down. If you get real tired of walking down, you can lean. Gravity will take care of the rest. It's gonna be beautiful. And then you keep walking. And then eventually you see another person. And you're like, huh, that's crazy. I probably shouldn't see another person because I was almost there when I saw the last person. And you see the next person, the next person, the next person, just as optimistic. It's gross. I'm just as happy. I barely even got out the sentence to the next person. And they're like, oh, it's just a little bit further, and beautiful. Don't ever do that for anything but food. Don't, no. Don't, stop acting like you can taste experience. The view, like. Did you walk up with your mouth open? Why? What's wrong with you? And luckily, this person, this liar, had a friend, a reluctant friend, a friend like me. Because they were like, oh, no, you're going to love it. You're almost there. It's beautiful. And then their friend was like, over here, which is also crazy. I was like, why would they just tell us with their eyes? Like, clearly, I don't know. It felt like they were in a relationship, or one of them was trying to be. Like, it was, that was a weird get out signal. It was a weird, like, you know when somebody shakes their head and the jowls really go like... We go up. We go up. We go up. And then I see another person. I see another person. And they're coming down. And when I see them, I'm like, I love. And who knows? Maybe it was like looking to them. Maybe we were having a very specific moment. Maybe they used to be like me because they somehow, genuinely, they somehow understood me. And they were like, it's right behind me. Kept walking down. And then we get up there and I see the view. That is cloudy. I walked all the way up here to see stuffing. Like, it looked like, you know, like when a dog rip up a toy real good. Bunch of white clouds, some gray. I didn't know we walked this high. At one point, I had to ask myself, I'm like, am I still alive? Like, this... Is this happening? Is what was going through my head when I saw it coming at us? This turtle. Turtle was coming at, and not just a turtle coming at us, a turtle was coming at us fast. None of this should be happening. I'm at the top of a mountain with a fast turtle locking in on me. The turtle is coming so fast. And when I tell you fast, I don't mean fast for a turtle. I mean actually fast. I mean it like almost broke my brain. Fast. A turtle. And not like fast like... Not like storybook fast, not like sloppy fast, which felt faster. It was really like flip, 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 but at like warp speed. It's crazy. It was, I was losing my mind because it wasn't like, you know what I mean? It wasn't fast the way a roach can be fast. It was fast like a turtle put on fast forward. This turtle is over here coming directly at me. Just, And so appropriately, I scream. And this is what sucked about that day. I'm already out of breath from my walk up. So I can't breathe enough to scream, and I'm also scarier than I've been in several days. Because a turtle is zooming at me fast. And so then I've got my phone in my hand, and this is the worst part. Okay. So I scream, but I scream with the phone in the hand. And when you, maybe this is like a man thing. Maybe this is like, this might sound insane to some of y'all. But as a man, when you scream and you're genuinely scared, you hope you don't have anything in your hands. Because the way your hands shake the thing in your hands betrays how scared you are. If I scream, but I have anything in my hands, I'm like, ah! That's life. I had my phone in my hand, so I had a visible representation of how terrified I was, because the phone is like, ah! If the phone had moved a centimeter in my hand, it'd be like, he's not even really that scared, he's just surprised. The phone moved easily a foot and a half. Ah! And then I seemed insane to my friends because I saw it first. So for them, I'm someone who they admittedly tricked into hiking, and I was huffing and puffing, and everyone we saw was like, how much further? How much further? Hi. And now we're at the top and they're mad too. All they see are clouds. We probably shouldn't have done this. There's plenty of places to exercise. And then they're looking out at this disappointing view and they hear, ah! It would have been better if I had dropped my phone because I'm screaming and I'm back up. Ah! And then the turtle is coming at me. And then everybody sees it. And this is where I lose people and people lose me, because then this is where the story gets muddy, right? Because we all ran. Everybody ran. I turn around, everybody with me. So we were all scared. And everybody ran, right? But then, after we run, after we're safe, now they want to tell me that wasn't a turtle. I saw it first. I saw it the longest. I decide what it was.
You are turtle.
The astronauts were flying way up in outer space. They heard a pecking on the window and they looked and saw a face. He held up a message that said, "Boys, I'll see you soon." And sure enough, there he was when they landed on the moon. And he said,
"Are you a turtle?"
You bet. You bet you're sweet. You bet you're sweet.
How do you get if I'm a turtle?
United States to China is a long, long way to fly. But President Nixon did it just to chat with Choi and Lai. He did it so our countries could be friends as years go by. And as he stepped out from the plane, he heard a mighty cry. Alu e toto.
You bet. You bet you're sweet. You bet you're sweet.
Ask me again if I'm a turtle.
I dreamed I went to heaven, just as plain as it could be. Out of 1,000 people there, St. Peter waved to me. He said, George, I've seen your record, and it's spotted with some sin. But there's one thing I got to know before I let you in.
Are you a turtle?
You bet. You bet you're sweet. You bet you're sweet.
Ask me again if I'm a turtle.
Are you a turtle?
Are you a turtle?
You bet.
That's dumb.
You bet you're
anybody who's anybody sweet. Is a turtle.
You
know that.
George Gobo there with Are You a Turtle? I thought that'd be most appropriate, since there may be some discrepancy with Mr. Johnson's description. But who knows? Maybe it was a mountaintop alligator. Don't be unknown. And other things you can't quite identify. Let's go talk to Mr. Bob Rivers with his chat room. Maybe he'll help us identify what really be going on.
Well, hello, Mickey 17 here. I'm 17 years old. Yeah, tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. People tell me I look like one of the Backstreet Boys. Which one? Huey. Or maybe Dewey. I'd like to meet you, too. What are you doing in 8 to 10 years?
It was dark in my room like an ancient tomb, set the monitor burning bright. I was trying to meet girls on the internet, but I hadn't had a doggone bite. I was looking for love at 56K, typing smut from town to town. Said I'm a 22-year-old college co-ed, and I'm about to pull my panties down.
What a coincidence. I am a lesbian too.
By the time the sun was coming up, I'd met girls from all 50 states, typing 40 words a minute with just one hand so the other could collate. Yeah, them keys was humming like a White House intern, toying with a chick in Bel Air. But the truth made me sick. She sent me a pic, and it had a lot of mustache hair.
Cause we're in a great big chat room, typing through the night.
Oh.
Got me a chat room. She's a beautiful sight.
Oh.
Come on and join our chat room. Who are you gonna meet today? Try your luck in the chat room across the cyberspace. Chat room.
I received your JPEG. Please resend. The photo appears to have smudged. It looks like you have a mustache. Ha ha ha. LOL. Perhaps we could meet in a more private room. Back door. Chip, is that you? You get your ass to bed before I come up there and disconnect your modem.
How the technologies have changed. No longer do they be doing chat rooms, or do they? But they are now doing Zoom calls, I think they be calling it, and they be using AI to go and put filters on, so the two fellers could be chatting away, thinking they were two lovely ladies all through the night because they filtered themselves to look like female cats. Or something like that. Female bats! 'Tis the season right around the corners are. That there, just a disturbing set of imagery. Let's go to commercial. Be back momentarily.
What rolls past stairs, odor and pears, rolls over your neighbor's dog. What's great for a snack, it fits on your back, it's love, love, love.
Blammo!
Nearly 300 years ago, on a moonless fall night, a woman was accused of being a witch and executed for her alleged crimes. With her last breath, she placed a curse upon the village of Coldbrook Creek. And to this day, her words echo throughout the hollow that once was.
All who enter shall be rooted to this place, and none
The Coldbrook curse lives again at Bradley Farms. Walk the cursed village of Coldbrook Creek, where shadows move and the dead cannot rest. Or take aim in the upper hollow at the undead shootout. Open Friday and Saturday nights in October from dusk until 10 p.m. at Bradley Farms, 1543 Maple Avenue, Elmira. For more details, visit coldbrookcurse.com. Pay to get in.
Pray to get out.
Ah, I'm seeing a trend this week. I notice I seem to be floundering around too many times in years past. It happens just before we get into the Christmassy season or the Halloweeny season. I'm so thinking about that, I'm not paying attention to what's going on right here and right now. But it's still good stuff, no matter how you be shaking the sticks at it. And with that, let's go straight to Frank Gallup's The Son of Irving. here on the Captain's Quarters.
You remember how Irving got three slugs in the belly, how it happened outside the frontier deli, how he lived by his gun and died by his gun? Well, no one knew Fat Irving had a son named Seymour. Tall, slim Seymour. Tall, slim, excellent-looking Seymour. Son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. He had steely eyes and stood 6'4". When he walked in the bar, he filled the door. He had a gun in one hand, and the folks would stare, 'cause in his other hand, he had a teddy bear. Seymour. Tall Sissy Seymour. Tall, excellent-looking Sissy Seymour. Son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. Seymour was dressed in boots magenta by his mother Esther, a dance hall yenta. She had one goal and he never mocked her. She dreamed he'd marry a lady doctor. Seymour. Mama's boy Seymour. Excellent looking big baby Seymour. Son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. One day Seymour rode into town. Billy the Kid was waiting to shoot him down. Seymour disguised himself in a dress and bustle and rode out of town as Lillian Russell. Seymour. Side saddle Seymour. Tall, really excellent looking Seymour. Son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. But then Seymour made Bad Max a dare. There stood Seymour, one hand on his gun and one on his teddy bear. But Bad Max shot Seymour down in the high noon sun. Stupid Seymour had drawn his teddy and hugged his gun. Seymour, mortally wounded Seymour, not so excellent looking Seymour. Dead, dumb, dumb Seymour. Truly the son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. Really?
Ha ha ha! Hi! Guess what just came in? Ah, yes, yes, yes. I'm so excited. It is a postcard from Molly. Aye, she sent it in from where she's going to college. And it's so exciting. It starts out, "Dear Daddy Captain, having wonderful time, shanghaied two classmates and a professor, teaching peoples how to shoot a cannon properly. Professor not doing well with that." She's always done well with cannon shooting. I don't know why the professor would be concerned. Let's go on. "Chemistry class is much fun. Things blow up differently than when Mama Babushka does it. Much to learn, having great time. Something, 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 alligator wrestling or... there's something on here. Is that... No, it's not blood. Ah, it's jam. Someone must have put jammed... Oh, I just thought of a wonderful joke. They jammed it into the letter slot. Ah, someone was probably eating a sandwich while reading... Wait a minute. Why would someone else be reading me daughter's postcard? I wonder if we've got revenuers looking after us. I'll have to look into that. I'll tell Mama Babushka to keep an eye out for the revenuers. She knows exactly what to do with them. She'll introduce them to her wax melts. Did you know that people can be used to make wax? That's good to get a postcard from Molly. That's so sweet. And it even says out here, "Love, Molly." I think it's either X's and O's. No. Those look like little swords and skulls. Aye, that's what I expect from me, dear. Ah, such a sweetheart. Such a sweetheart. Ah, you can't ask for more than that. Ah, so much fun. Wait a minute. P.S. Send more money. Yep, that's me daughter for ye.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Robert Del Bell from Troy, Michigan writes, "Dear Dr. Science, why does nature abhor a vacuum?"
Nature has a real attitude problem. It feels so bad about itself that it abhors almost everything. But this repulsion is what psychologists call projection. What nature needs is self-esteem. If nature had a good self-image, instead of finding fault, it would delight in the unique qualities of each and everything. The explanation for why nature feels a special animosity towards a vacuum lies in nature's fear of abandonment. The cold, airless void represents everything nature's afraid of. Again, once nature gets its head screwed on right, this petty behavior will disappear, just like a vacuum does when a light bulb implodes.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
This first song is called "A World on Fire." Ow! Ow! This next song is a little bit longer than that one. And it's about all the sad stuff I see in the world, and I see a lot of sad stuff, and it's called "Sad." Get on my level, Madison. Picture a depressed onion cutting itself. Homeless man named Rich.
He wasn't.
Isn't that terrible? I saw a flyer for a lost dog, and the dog didn't have any legs. I saw a diabetic kid trick-or-treating. I saw a giraffe who had a short neck. That was sad. Or a deer. I saw an old man get hit by a train. Didn't see it in the pouring rain. He didn't hear me shout.
train.
Because I didn't say anything. I just thought to myself, ooh, this is gonna be sad. And it was. I'm a genius. I saw a man with only one eye in a 3D movie. I saw a little boy drop his ice cream cone directly on his mother's corpse. I saw a kitten stuck in a tree, then the kitten jumped off and he hung itself. I saw a boy who had red hair. I went to a store looking for something to buy, but they only sold paintings of the same sad guy. No, wait, this store sells mirrors. See what I did there? Let's rock! No. The world's so sad, Madison. Pain, war, genocide, racism, sexism. But I gotta remember, there's good things about it too. Like the fact that none of that's happening to me. Score! Still though, it's hard not to be sad about it. How do y'all do it? I've been telling you guys terribly sad things this whole song. You haven't been sad at all, you've been happy. No, you've been laughing. That's it, laughter, it's the key to everything. It's the way to solve all the sadness in the world. I mean, not for the people that are actually sad, but the people like us that gotta f***ing deal with them all the time. Being a comedian isn't being an insensitive prayer, capitalizing on the most animalistic impulses of the public. It's being a hero. The world isn't sad. The world's funny. I get it now. I'm a sociopath. I saw an old man slip and fall. What a fucking idiot. I saw a woman at her daughter's funeral. Ha ha ha. Classic comedy. Everything that once was sad is somehow funny now. The Holocaust and 9/11. Funny 24/7, cause tragedy will be exclusively joked about, because my empathy is bumming me out. Goodbye, sadness. Hello, jokes. Thank you very much.
I feel like I sat there with Bo Burnham with sad. I feel like a little bit of Ron White right now. And let's go to California Cops. For no apparent reason other than it feels like a fun thing to listen to. Ron White now.
Every time I read a newspaper in Los Angeles, California, I get pissed because things don't have to make sense in L.A. I read an article in the paper in L.A. that said they're going to try to outlaw the big screen, real life handgun shooting video games because they say that that's what's wrong with the youth of America today. They learn how to accurately shoot guns with video games. It's not a parenting problem. Oh, no. No, it's a video problem. Doesn't it piss you off when you have a genuine problem you try to tack a solution to? It's got nothing to do with the problem. You know what I mean? I came up with a great idea. Don't outlaw those machines. Give them to the state troopers of California, because they're some of the worst shots I've ever seen in my life. I saw a shootout once live on TV that went on for so long, eventually the criminal got frustrated and shot himself. And the cops were on TV whining about it, going, he's got on body armor, he's got on body armor. I'm watching it live on CNN going, I can see his head, shoot him in the f***ing head. Give my kid a shot. How's that, Daddy? Good shot, Poot. Everybody relax. Poot took him out. Thank God Poot was there with his considerable skills. Horrible shot. Some cops are. You ever see tape of the Kehoe brothers from Ohio? Those guys that get out of that white Suburban, they show it on Cops. These guys, folks, have a shootout with the police at point blank range, nobody gets hurt. I would love to have been at the office the next day when that guy's being interviewed by the chief. And then what happened? Well, at that point, I unloaded my semi-automatic 9mm weapon at point blank range. And then what happened? They left. Nice shooting, Elmer Fudd. There was a kid in Detroit 3 years ago, shot 8 bullets, hit 9 people. These two cops shot 22 bullets, didn't even hit the Suburban. Give those guys a roll of quarters. Drop them off at the mall. That's all I'm saying.
AK-47, well, you know it makes me feel all right. Got an Uzi by my pillow, helps me sleep a little better at night. There's no feeling any greater than to shoot first and ask questions later. Now I'm trigger happy every day. Well, you can't take my guns away, I got a constitutional right. Be ready if the commies attack us tonight. Bah, 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 bah. I'll blow their brains out with my Smith & Wesson. That ought to teach them all a darn good lesson. Now I'm trigger happy every day.
Oh yeah, I'm
trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Better watch out, punk, or I'm gonna have to blow you away. Oh, I accidentally shot Daddy last night in the den.
Shot Daddy in the den.
I mistook him in the dark for a drug-crazed Nazi again.
Drug-crazed Nazi again.
Now why'd you have to get so mad? It was just a lousy flesh wound, Dad. You know I'm trigger happy every day. Oh, I still haven't figured out the safety on my rifle yet.
Bum do up, shoo up, bum do up.
Little Fluffy took a round, better take him to the vet.
Bum do up, shoo up, bum do up.
I filled that kitty cat so full of lead. We'll have to use him for a pencil instead. Well, I'm trigger happy every day.
Oh yeah, I'm
trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Trigger happy. Yes, I'm trigger happy. Better watch out, punk, or I'm gonna have to blow you away. Come on and grab your ammo. What have you got to lose? We'll get all liquored up and shoot at anything that moves. Got a brand new semi-automatic weapon with a laser sight.
Shoot to kill now, shoot to kill.
Oh, I'm praying somebody tries to break in here tonight.
Shoot to kill now, shoot to kill.
I always keep a magnum in my trunk. You better ask yourself that you feel lucky, punk. Because I'm trigger happy every day.
Well, I shouldn't have to tell you who the last artists there were, but I tell you anyway, just in case you didn't hear it clearly. I mean, Weird Al Yankovic with Trigger Happy. And now, as I was looking through things, I saw this and I said, yeah, I think we could slip this one in just as a taste and a preview for what's beginning to happen. starting next week. This here be the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band with the Monster Mash.
From the slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
The monster mash.
It caught on in a flash.
The monster mash.
He did the monster mash. From the hall of gore in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
He did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
The monster mash.
It caught on in a flash.
The monster mash.
They did the monster mash. All the zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. Digging the sounds, Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The poodle stabbers are about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
It was a smash.
It caught on in a flash.
The monster mash.
They did the monster mash. Come in, Boris. Have a guest for breakfast. Come in, Horace. We always have a breast for breakfast. Igor, have you watered the brains today, Igor?
There, Bubby. Don't those wax melts smell really good? You know, the apple pie was a little bit, but that hog trough, okay, it was maybe a little strong, but you gotta admit, it made everything smell a little different.
Aye, different's a word, it be.
Now let's see what we has. We has nutmeg and cucumber. That's gonna be next.
I can be hardly wait.
Anyway, for all you people out there in podcast land, I sings now. Hey, ho, let's go. Hey, ho, let's go. They're forming in a straight line. They're going through a tight wind. The kids is losing their minds. Blitzkrieg bop. They're piling in the back seat. They generate the steam heat. Pulsating to the backbeat. Blitzkrieg bop. Hey, ho, let's go. Shut up in the back now. What they want, I don't know. They's all revved up and ready to go. They're forming in a straight line. They're going through a tight wind. The kids is losing their minds. Blitzkrieg bop. They pilot in the back seat. They generate the steam heat, pulsating to the big beat, blitzkrieg bop, hey, ho, let's go, shot them in the back now. What they want, I don't know, they're all revved up and ready to go, they're forming in a straight line, They're going through a tight bind. The kids is losing their minds. Blitzkrieg Bob. The pilot in the back seat. They generate the steam heat. Pulsating to the back beat. Blitzkrieg Bob. Hey, ho, let's go. Hey, ho, let's go. Hey, ho, let's go. Hey, ho, let's go.
Well, I do believe we've been tortured well enough, and it'd be time to go. Good night.
So just chill till the next episode.